Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faint he giveth power, through the mountains makes a findeth water in the desert, turns the night to golden day. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner. Yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. In temptation, he's near thee, holds the powers of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner.
Son, let him in. two little boys were staring at the candy on display. When one whispered to the other, with the clerk looking away,
"Just put it in your pocket, no one will ever know. We'll eat it all before we get back home."
Well, that little boy just stared down at the candy on the shelf, and you could almost hear the conversation he had with himself. Then he gave the clerk a dollar, took the candy and his change, gave half to his buddy and explained,
"No matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. When I'm home and Mama asks me, 'Have you been good?' though she would never know, I would."
Well, little boys, they grow up, and temptations grow up too. And we're living in a world that says, do what you wanna do. They don't know won't hurt 'em, it's the devil's battle cry. But a godly man knows that is just a lie. No matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. When the Holy Spirit asked me, "Have you been good?" though the world would never know, I would.
The man that I am when no one is watching is the man I really am. No matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be.
And when the Holy Spirit asked me, "Have you been good?" though the world would never know, though the world might not ever know,
stood by the wayside. I'm the blind man who fell by the way. I'm the leper who cried out for mercy. And I'm the reason he died there that day. I'm the reason that he went to Calvary. I'm the reason for the old rugged cross. I'm the one who went astray. I'm the one who found his way. I'm the reason he died there that day.
Let's all stand. We're going to sing "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Good to sing you. See you tonight. Sing it with me.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world.
right, let's pray as we begin tonight. James, how about leading us in prayer?
Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, thank you for safety and travel you have given all of us, Lord. Lord, as we listen to Pastor, Lord, as you glorify him with your spirit, Lord, and may all of us be given proper wisdom and knowledge, Lord. And for the people who are still coming here tonight, Lord, guide them and protect them, Lord. This weekend, through this, without you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we have been on this this listening to God subject for several weeks. Amen. Right? Am I telling the truth? So anybody give a testimony of how the Word of God has helped you? Has it helped you? Has it helped you tune in a little bit more? Is there anything that's changed in your life as far as listening to God? Anybody want to share any kind of testimony? Don't everybody talk out at once, please. Yes?
I think it's made me a little more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, especially when studying God's Word. There's little things that are, you know, you study something and it's like, you know what? I got that.
Okay. Any other testimonies? God speaking to you. God spoke to me this way, or I didn't realize that I needed to tune in this way, or yes.
So, you know, I have been so blessed by these messages, Pastor, because
Amen.
I can tell you, I have been struggling.
Mm.
And, you know, it's one thing to spend time in the Word. It's another thing to pray.
Amen.
But to take time to just be quiet and be still is something that has been missing in my life. And the chaos that I sometimes feel, I realized that's it. You've got to find time to just sit and be. And it's, you know, you talk about, you know, how you can be just so busy that you're too busy. And that's how I feel. Sometimes I just feel too busy, and I'm like, Lord, please help me. Help me to, I've got to get up in the dark, with the wee hours of the morning, just
Amen.
Give me that time where I can just sit and be still and
Amen.
Know that you are God, and to just listen and to commune with you, and not just go through my checklist of things I've got to get done for the day, because oh, then tomorrow's another day, and the list starts all over again. And it's definitely been a blessing to me.
Amen.
I really didn't Anybody realize else? that meditation piece, what that really meant. And, you know, you think, you know, oh, just thinking on God's Word, you know, just thinking about God's Word, you know, reciting God's Word, memorizing God's Word, that, you know, you're meditating, and I've just... There was such a big, huge component for me that was missing in being quiet. Being quiet. I just don't think I experienced that enough in my life. And so I want to thank you for bringing these messages, and for the Holy Spirit for saying, ooh, Mona, that's you, girl. You need to get yourself together, and you need to do better, and you need to take time. Get rid of something else. And take time.
Amen. Amen. Arnold? Yeah.
Better be ready when you go out the door.
Yeah, amen. Anybody else about the messages? Anybody else? God speaking to you. Yes.
In the Philippines, I'm quite busy in the ministry, like in the choir. But then, as I was listening to the messages, I remembered one song that we sung in the choir before, that sometimes I get so filled up with ministry work, but not enough with God's word and what he wants. Like, for me to just stay still and just look for him, search for him. And I feel so blessed with the past messages, especially since I also often come to church with cloudy mind. Everything's just going on here in my brain, but I'm thankful that at the end of the day, I still get to pray, I still get to talk to him and cry out to him, just ask my Father, and I'm really, really thankful.
Amen.
Because it felt like I wasn't really giving myself time to do that back in the Philippines, but to be reminded of it here, I've become more earnest and more...
Amen.
Willful to do it.
Amen.
Like, be consistent with it.
Amen.
And to really just enjoy the fellowship that I have with Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 That's good. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Elijah.
Yeah, I've been really feeling as of lately, especially the past couple of weeks, I mean, there's been a lot of changes with work, a lot of changes with my own personal life, a lot of changes with my family. And it's gotten to the point to where, the only time when I do find peace is when I'm talking to God. You know, if I don't, then it's like, it's chaotic. So I am thankful, very, very thankful. You know, for these messages, giving us that show different ways in which God speaks to us, you know, ways that we should submit ourselves, you know, and allow God to speak to us, you know, by being still and you know, really crying out to him, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, these past couple of weeks have been tough, real tough. You know, but I'm thankful that God is, you know, really pushing his spirit.
Amen.
To, hey, go to the closet, go to that closet.
Amen.
Anybody else? Yes.
It's same here. To piggyback off of Simona, you know, even though I'm supposed to be at work around 7 o'clock, 7:30, wake up at 5:30 and just be alone reading the word, have a quiet time. So this message is a good reminder that we have to be, you know, in a quiet place to hear from the Lord.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, I really... You know, there's things that come into your life that drive you to want to be closer to God. I meet a lot of Christians that are doing a lot, but they're shallow Christians. Think about Mary and Martha. This one thing is more needful. And as far as a preacher, I was trying to look for a place, help Darian find a place for a Marine to go to church. He wants to go to church. And I listen to the pastors preach. Now, I don't judge people. But, I mean, when it hits you in the face, when you say, when the person is preaching the message, what in the world is he talking about?
Right,
and you cannot give the word of God, and you cannot minister to people. You cannot, unless you spend time with God.
Amen.
Now, the disciples believe in the Book of Acts, right? They said, you know, they perceived that they had been with who?
Jesus.
They'd been with Jesus. And the world ought to get that from us. So listening to God, it's an important thing. And by the way, God wants to talk to you all the time. He doesn't just want to speak to you when you pray at night. He wants to keep an ongoing conversation with you.
Amen.
Do you remember the message we preached, pray without ceasing?
Yes.
That goes with this. Because you get God started, he won't stop.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And so the secret is not a secret to being what God wants us to be. It's to talk to Him all the time, to let Him know that He's the number one all the time. And whether we're at work or we're at home, I've been trying to ask the Lord what book to preach next or what series to preach next, and so I'm just Miss Creed says, "Will you put those books away? They're all open and they're all sitting here." And I said, "Well, I'm going to look at them." And so I got books everywhere, but just trying to get smart. Now I can get messages or listen to messages, but I want what God wants for you.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you're special. This place is special. By the way, God spoke to us on Sunday morning.
Amen.
In a big way. See, two people saved.
Amen.
And what a blessing. Amen. So Sunday night we started on hindrances to our God speaking to us, and I hope you made note of those, and I hope you go away from here with them written down, wanting to work on them. And being the only way you work on something you learn in church is to keep it before your eyes. Okay, and so I mean, with me, an hour goes ancient history and memory, so I got to write things down. Amen. And so goes a Chevrolet or something, but you have to do things on purpose, right? Well, I'm going to get around to this. I'm going to get around, and you never get around to it. I remember one Sunday we had Miss Abbott. We had at Independent. We had round to it Sunday, and it was a round that said. It was a round piece of wood, and it said, "To it. Here's your round to it." And that was round to it Sunday. Salute. Big deal. But we looked at hindrances. On Sunday night, we looked at the first hindrance. We looked at the lack of knowledge of God. And really, that's because if we don't know God, we don't know how He operates. We can't hear Him. A poor self-image. Now, that may sound worldly or social. It may sound sort of humanistic, but God made you special, and you're special to God. Amen? And then a false sense of guilt. Now, if there's sin in your life, there ought to be guilt. But if you confess sin, you don't walk around guilty. You can't disappoint God. You can write that down. I can never disappoint God. How are you going to disappoint somebody that knows everything about you, wants the best for you, is ready to forgive you at the drop as soon as you confess? You can't make Him love you any less. I mean, what a place to be in God's family. What a wonderful position to be, born again, a child of God. It's incredible. So tonight I want us to move on, and we're going to look at three more tonight. And we're going to look at three more Sunday night, and then we're going to look at one extensive one on next Wednesday and get these hindrances out of the way. Amen? These hindrances have got to go. So Mona stole my thunder on the first point here tonight. The first hindrance we want to look at is busyness. Busyness. I know. This is, Darren, you're going to plug into this one. But we cannot function in this world today without being busy. You can't keep up with the process. You got to stay busy. Okay? And we want to address both busyness of responsibilities and excessive activity that keeps one on the move. I want to look at this busyness, the thought of this busyness, from this standpoint. We're so busy, and we get so concentrated and attentive to the busyness, we forget that God's with us, and He wants to God wants to be right there to teach with you and work. God wants to be right there when you stack the oranges and the grapefruits, and God wants to be right there when you do the hot water heater, and God wants you to be Sam, when you're chief cook and bottle washer, where the place where you work, and He wants to be there with you, Miss Abbott, when you work there, and He wants to be here with you while you're away from home, and He wants you to feel at home, but we get busy, and we leave God out of the whole equation. Have you ever gotten to the end of the day and it was a big bust? And in your heart, the Holy Spirit said, you know, I could have helped you with this. Right? If you'd have started with me and kept me, we could have done this together. Amen? The more hands, the lighter the load. And God's got some big hands. Amen. Amen. And so I want you to think about this. God cannot be put off to the side or in a corner if He's going to speak to us. And frankly, we really need Him more when we're busy than when we're not. We need Him. And so this is a ridiculous statement. I believe we use this statement. And we give invitation for teenagers and people to surrender to full-time Christian service. Well, if you get saved, you're supposed to be in full-time Christian service.
Right. That's true.
Now, if God calls you to the ministry, that's a different thing. You understand what I'm saying? But we should be full-time Christians and serving. So it's a weird words we put with things, we independent Baptists. Amen. So I want you to notice. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. In the busyness of your life, it can be a hindrance if you leave God out. And so here's some verses I want to give you that will help you. It says, This I say then, walk what?
In the Spirit,
and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. There's the opposites. There's two opposites in that verse. The word Spirit and the word flesh. You can circle them both and draw lines, and you can write opposites. They're opposites. You're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking, you're doing it on your own, or you're walking with God. Remember, this preacher used to say all the time, go with God. Go with God. And walk in the Spirit, and here's a promise, and ye shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't say walk in the Spirit and you'll be perfect, because we're going to fall down, we're going to make mistakes. See, it's not whether you make a mistake, it's what you do with it. It's how you handle it. This electrician called me and he said, come over to the restroom, Pat. I want you to look at this. I said, okay. He said, I got a problem. I said, I don't want the problem. He said, what do you want? I said, I want the solution. I said, what's the solution? He said, well, I want to tell you the problem. I said, no, I want the solution. Well, you got to know the problem before. No, I said, I want you to show me the solution first. He said, well, I'm going to put the lights here. I said, that's good. Thank you. So a day came up to me, he said, you know, what you're saying is you don't want to be part of the problem, you want to be part of the solution. I said, yeah. See? We all make mistakes. We all say things wrong. We all blow it. Right? It's how we handle those. See, the Christian that's not walking in the Spirit, as soon as you make a mistake, you start making excuses. Right? Start trying to cover it up. Or blame it on him. He made me do it. This guy, Flip Wilson, you ever seen? He used to say, the devil made me do it. Yeah. He didn't make you do anything. See? So walk in the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:25, just down the page. If we live, now it was talking about walk, but it says live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I think we divide our lives too much. We act like, well, you know, I'm in church, and so I'm in a worshipful spirit, and then I'm going home, and I got this, and I'm different. We need God. God's right there with us. He's everywhere present. If he's everywhere present, we ought to acknowledge that. We ought to fellowship with that. Amen? Amen. Live in the Spirit. Say, preacher, a preacher comes up to you, say, how you doing, Miss Anita? Living in the Spirit. That's not bragging.
Amen.
I mean, because that's a war. It's a war to live in the Spirit. Because there's somebody else, a trio, the world, the flesh, and devil at you. Okay? Now notice Psalm 46:10. This is my life verse. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. In this verse, God is speaking from the heart to your heart. There's a lot of being stills that we need to instill in our lives daily. It's like you said, you need to stop. Now, she works at public school. And I asked her what a break is, and she said, what's a break? I mean, you know, probably get very little breaks, if any. Right? But you don't have to have a break to be still in your heart. Being still is not talking about stop moving. It's what are you thinking? What's going on? Stop it. Move that aside and say, okay, God, it's me and you. Okay? Busyness. If you're busy, be busy with God. Don't let busyness be a hindrance. Number two, notice this. And this doesn't sound very Christian, but this. Number two is unbelief. We believe God for salvation, but that's it.
Amen.
We're 911 Christians. We only call on God when it's an emergency.
Right. Amen.
We only believe God when we're singing Love Lifted Me or He Lives or I How I Love Jesus, and we're putting on our smiling and Sunday best and Sunday go to meet, and then we come to church and we're acting like we're real spiritual giants. Some think God only speaks to a few. I know God speaks to so-and-so, but I don't think he can speak to me. That's not Bible. That is not Bible. He spoke to Samuel, and Samuel didn't even know the Lord yet.
Wow.
Remember that verse? He said he did not yet know
the Lord.
The Lord. Oh, well, that is God's not speaking to lost people. I beg to differ.
Wow.
I do. I think God is tapping at every heart he can. That will listen. I do. Listen, we must understand how God speaks to us to believe, and the how is the Word of God. God speaks to us basically, the baseline is through His Word. Now, what's that have to do with unbelief? Well, generally, people who do not have, who have a trouble with trusting God and a belief in God and taking that step, aren't in the Word of God. Because the Word of God will build you up in the most holy faith. The Word of God will give you confidence in the Lord and confidence in God, and will build you up. It won't cause you to not believe. I marvel that we go out to try to witness to people and we have so much unbelief in our own lives. You think about it. God wants you. God's trying to move you in a certain direction, and you just won't move because of your unbelief. And then we have the audacity to witness to people.
Wow.
You say, "Well, preacher, shouldn't I?" No, yeah, you should witness to people, but you should believe. That's convicting, but that's the way we react. We walk around we walk around like spiritual weaklings in this thing of believing God. Who did, was it Noah? Believe God? Or was Abraham?
Abraham
believed God and he counted it to him for what?
Righteousness.
See? Believe God. Lord Jesus was impressed with the faith of the centurion. So notice this. John 14 and verse 26. You say, Preacher, how do I build up, how do I get rid of the hindrance of unbelief? How do I deal with that? Notice what it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, notice how many parts of the Godhead are in that verse?
Three.
Don't say four. There's not four. We'll send in my name. He shall teach you what?
All things.
You ought to circle that. Now here's my question, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Now, he shall teach you all things. Is he able to teach you to believe? Is he able to teach you things that will cause you to believe? Right? But is he able to teach you? See, when I preach the Word of God on Sunday, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches you.
Amen. That's right.
Because some people it goes in one ear and out the other. But other people, when they listen to the Word of God, they're saying the whole time, that's me. God, I need this. And the Holy Spirit takes it and he works in your heart. And he turns on the light. And you say, oh, okay. And then you hear something else, you say, oh, okay. That's not me. I don't know what's inside you. That's I said that's a struggle with preachers. We need to connect you with the Word of God, connect you with the Holy Spirit. I can't make a decision for you. Now I know preachers, they'll hold off, they'll have invitations till they get so many people come forward. The folks that are going to move are going to move. And I know some of you sit in your seats and you deal with your God in your seats. That's fine with me.
Amen.
I don't sit there and say, bless God, this many people came forward. That was a powerful message. You know, that's ridiculous. And I know some of you take it home with you and some of you get eaten and some of you sit down in your chair and it hits you between the eyes what the Word of God was saying and you deal there. Listen, whenever God speaks to your heart, the Holy Spirit teaches you. He's the only one that can teach you and cement that thing in your heart, in your soul. That's what he did when he saved you. Someone said, you're a sinner. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, you are. And then they said, because of your sin, you're condemned to hell. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's where you're going. And then he said, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he said, that's what you can have. And the Holy Spirit and the soul winner said, hey, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again the third day and you'll call on him, he'll save you. And the Holy Spirit says, just call on him and believe. And you did. And there's a continuum of that with the Holy Spirit. By the way, here's something people don't realize. They say, well, I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is at the right hand of God, and God the Father's in heaven, and they're in heaven. So they're all three in different places. Well, let me just clue you in on something. The Bible says this. The Bible says the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost calls this. And then it says the Spirit of Christ. And then it says the Spirit of God. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying all three are in you.
Amen.
You're indwelt by the all three Spirit. I mean, you can't, that's biblical. You've got all of God you ever have. God the Father, God the Son, the Spirit. It's all God. These three are one. We dissect and separate, and we do damage to what God's trying to teach us, the miracle and the supernatural happening that takes place in the life of a Christian when they're saved. They are indwelt by God. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, indwells them. And let me just say something. We have the audacity to not believe. Our unbelief. God can't speak to us if we don't believe. We are called believers. There's no such thing as an unbeliever believer. There's not. And so I need to believe God. Oh, preacher, I just can't. It's not there. There you go. You're getting off script. When you say I just can't, and the Bible says it is God which worketh in you both to do and will of His. It's not you. It's God. God saves you, and then He gives you a will, and then He works it through you. That's a pretty easy plan. I still get amazed at Gideon and his 300.
Yeah, amen.
Standing on that hill with those things, and that Gideon hands him a pitcher with a candle in it and a trumpet, and these guys here, mighty men of war, and they're looking at each other going, "He has flipped his wig." And then they did what God told them, and God took care of the enemy. And when God does something. You know, Arnold and Wendy have been riding Emily, shoving the Bible down her throat, telling her to turn or burn. No, they haven't. They've just been loving on her and encourage her. I think last week he gave her a little picture of the gospel or something last week, how to get saved, something. But they've just been loving on their granddaughter. And God melted her heart.
Amen.
That boy, that eighth grade boy, with Edith and Matthias, never been here before. Came down here and got saved.
Amen.
Eighth grade. I had nothing to do with it.
Amen.
But I was here to watch it.
Amen.
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 I like that. I like to be able to watch God work. Amen.
Amen.
And so unbelief. Unbelief. That's a hindrance. That's a huge hindrance. That's a showstopper. Now, let me give you the third one. We're done. Notice this one. God-directed anger. Have you ever been mad at God? Now, wait a minute before you answer and get yourself into sin. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6. I'm going to give you two scriptures here. Notice what it says. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him. Who was they?
The Pharisees.
You can circle that, and you can say the devils.
Oh, Jesus.
Whether he would heal them on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. Now, isn't that a sad way to be? Huh? Satanic. By the way, there are people in churches like that. There are people in the independent Baptist churches that don't want God to work. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? You know what they said? Absolutely nothing. Notice what it says. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, they grieved, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And notice what it says. Thank you. And notice what it says in verse 6, and straightway the Pharisees went forth and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodian against him, how they might what?
Destroy him.
Now, these are people that are lost. People that are lost hate God and hate God's people. You're gonna experience that if the Lord tarries more and more.
Amen.
People are gonna hate you. You stand for good, they're gonna hate you. And that's lost people getting bitter at God.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Well, let's look back to Jonah. Let's look back to Jonah. Let's see if we can find anything about. Let's see if Jonah can help us. This is a whale of a book. Jonah. It's in here somewhere. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2. What did he say to Jonah? Arise and go to Nineveh and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. Okay, now, you all know about the Ninevites?
Yeah, they're crazy.
They took pleasure. They figured out real, they worked at ways to torture people as they died. I mean, and in all likelihood, if you study it, they had killed some of Jonah's people.
Yeah.
People, or people he knew. So God says, hey, I want you to go preach to those people. Now I want you to think of some people today right here in the world that if God told you to go preach to them, you'd think twice. Don't sit there like a spiritual, like you don't know what I'm talking about, like you're super spiritual, because you're not. Huh? Right? There's some people. We think God say, go here, and you'd say, what? Huh? And so Jonah just went ahead and went up there to preach to them, right? No, he went the opposite direction. Got on a ship. Next thing you know, he's in the belly of a whale. Okay? Right? So he didn't like what God was telling him. And then in the belly of the whale, what did he do?
He cried
to the Lord. And after he went to Whale University for a little bit, he got puked up on the land, guts and smelly, skin, he probably had acne. He probably looked like the devil when he went up there. They probably felt sorry for him at Nineveh, wouldn't touch him. He was probably scared. They probably looked at him and said, no, I'm with this. And look at verse chapter 4. Back up to verse 10 of chapter 3. And God saw their works, that they turned from their what? God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Man, time to rejoice. Not Jonah. What's it say in verse 1? But it what?
But it displeased Jonah.
But it displeased God saved everybody in my neighborhood except this guy. I can't stand him. Send him straight to hell. Now, you say, what is that? That's God-directed anger. Now, when something happens to you, when you get a setback, when you get a physical setback or a financial setback or somebody dies, it's easy for us to get displeased with God and angry with God. Why would we get angry with God? Why would we get angry with God? Because we don't understand him. There's nothing that God does that's not for our good. That's hard to swallow, right? That's hard to deal with, but it's for our good.
Amen.
It is. And you say, preacher, I just can't understand it. Just understand this. You will not understand it till we get home with the Lord.
Right.
So if you have to understand, you're going to never understand that you'll never understand. You just don't need to understand that. There's just no end. You're just not going to know it. Right? And so when God says to us, God says or directs us or something happens in our life, don't get mad at God. Some Christians have the audacity when they sin and it backfires or something happens when they're in sin to get mad at God. That's a hindrance to God speaking to you. If you're mad at God, you're not going to listen to Him. Too busy. Unbeliever. Unbelief. And too mad. Let's work on these hindrances. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for Your Word. We pray that You'd cause us to every day to get Your help. To move these things aside so we can converse with You and talk to You and have sweet fellowship with You and know You're right there with us. I bless these brothers and sisters as they do business with You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. If God spoke to you, maybe tonight you're just mad at God. Maybe you understand what we're saying when we're talking about unbelief. Because we just don't trust God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tim, come on with the prayer requests, prayer list.
Anything else?
Nope.
How y'all doing this evening?
Hello.
Let's continue to pray for all the folks that have had loved ones went to be with the Lord. Just be lifting them up in prayer. Pray especially for the Barnes family and the passing of Brother Peter's brother Wayne that went to be with the Lord. And just pray for the family for strength and comfort, and pray for Peter as he prepares to go down there towards the end of the month for the service. So be lifting him up in prayer. And praise the Lord, Miss Anita's here tonight. How you
Amen.
Feeling? Everything, you ready to run the aisle?
No.
No, not yet. Not yet. Amen. Amen. We're praying for you. Glad everything went well. And we're glad you're here tonight. And look forward to maybe see. Are you singing on Sunday?
I don't know.
Well, we hope you do. Amen. And we're praying for your friend, Nick Ukenna. And just we're praying for his... He has cancer and he's in hospice. We'll be lifting him up in prayer. And praise the Lord for Brother Arnold and Sister Wendy's granddaughter, Emily, that got saved Sunday. Amen. Just pray for her to grow in the Lord. And boy, it was really wonderful. So be lifting her up in prayer. Pray for Miss Sherita. She has an unspoken request. And her eyes are getting better. Amen. So be praying for her. And pray for Brother Chris's mom, Leslie. And he had a praise the other day that her lupus was in remission. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. She's been through an awful lot. But continue to pray for her. Pray for God's hand on her. And just lift him up, the Simpkins up in prayer.
Brenda's not feeling good either. I took her to patient first.
So. Pray for Sister Brenda. She's not feeling well, and she's at patient first. So be lifting her up in prayer. Well, yeah, maybe not. Pray for Brother Dove. Have you any updates on Brother Dove?
He's got pneumonia.
Brother Dove has pneumonia, so be praying for his recovery there. Pray for Brother Elijah, and pray for God to use him as he ministers to the guys that he coaches. And pray for those two fellows that got saved, for them to grow in the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for Brother Frank's sister who had surgery on the 15th. Surgery went well, and she's doing good. So praise the Lord for that. And continue to pray for Sister Hazel as she has upcoming doctor's appointments and procedures this month. And pray for her health. And pray for her to be able to breathe. That COPD is bad stuff. Pray for Sister Mona, who has an unspoken request. Hey, by the way, folks, there's a lot of folks in here that have got unspoken requests. Can I see some hands? Unspoken requests? Amen. I think we all do. So we need to pray for that as well. Pray for Sister Mona. She goes works the job, and he takes care of her mom. And for God's strength on her as she does multitasks. Amen. And pray for, praise the Lord, Brother Matthias and Sister Judith were here Sunday, and praise the Lord for their grandson that got saved. And pray for him to grow in the Lord. Good young man. Good guy. And, you know, I'm just really, really impressed with their character, just like this young lady here. You know, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter. I go to another country, or they went back to their country, and they were in church, and they asked for prayer for Hope Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And they came back here, and they're back in church. Amen. Being faithful, it's like being on vacation. You know, you don't go on a vacation from God. You go,
Amen.
You find a church, and you get in church, and keep worshiping the God, serving the Lord. So pray for that young man to grow in the Lord. Pray for pastor's friend James and his wife to grow in the Lord. James Haggerty and his wife Heather, and pray for Cindy Hall, Miss Creed's friend Cindy Hall. She recovers from pneumonia, so be lifting her up in prayer. And pray for Brother Peter and Sister Faye's nephew, Denzel, who has liver cancer, and he's in hospice now, and it doesn't look good. Pray that God would heal him and help them, that God would use them to minister to him. And pray for Brother Russ. Continue to pray for Brother Russ Van Buskirk, that his that he be back in church. His mom really has a burden for him, and pray that he be back in church. And pray for Brother Glade as he ministers to him, as he encourages him. And pray for her. She asked for a prayer for her friend, Bill Strugnell, who has prostate cancer, and is for salvation, for his salvation. So be lifting him up in prayer as well, that God would heal him, and most importantly, God would save him. Pray for Brother Miss Abbott's friend, Miss Thompson, who had a stroke and has dementia. Just pray,
Vanita
John, yeah.
She has good days, Thompson, and bad days.
Yeah, that's really bad. Just pray, be lifting her up in prayer, and pray for their son Daniel, who's in the military, and that God protects him, and watches over him, and pray for. Brother Miss Mortley, just pray for them. Pray for travel mercies as they come back home from vacation. And pray for their son, Hansel, that travel mercies for him and protection in the armed forces. And are there any other updates or requests?
Pray for Israel.
Yes, pray for Israel. Yes, indeed. Yep. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
We have a good FaceTime with Daniel this afternoon before heading to the field tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And, he said that it will be a place where there's no signal, so he just gave us a heads up for a little over a month.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, praise the Lord, our answer prayer. James is a rookie driver. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
I told Misharita it's time to pass the title of being a roadrunner.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Those tires are made for burning. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody else have anything? No.
Oh, well, I just want to share some, I don't know, God's word and his counsel is a blessing. Pastor's preaching Sunday night was a go signal for me, and you know, he said, I can't run this, always can't run unless he wanted to let it be. And should I keep, you know, a poor self image? And it's, you know, and, the testimony of work in the workforce is hard. And I just Saturday when a manager intimidated me, and so I said, should I have to let this pass or voice it out so that it would not be always the same issue for other people whom we have and new workers that might experience something like that. And so with the help, of course, I composed an email to the CEO, and it was being addressed, and there was a disciplinary reaction to the manager. So, you know, just like what Pastor said, you know, don't disobey God's child.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's good. That's good. Amen. Anybody else have anything? No? Brother Elijah, would you like to pray for us, please? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed. If you have offerings, stop back and see the guy in the red shirt back there. And yes. Wendy bounces in. But let's work towards Sunday. Invite somebody. Bring somebody with you. Just invite. If you invite people, and get to the gospel tracks, share them, and let's watch God do His work. Amen. Pray for these new converts, and let's pray for each other, and let's talk with God constantly. Let's have some good conversations, amen. And let's come into church Sunday morning close to God, not away. It's like sometimes we go out, we get away, we got to come back to get right. We go out, and Paul says, go on to perfection. We're not going to be perfect, but we need to. And have a conversation with God. You'll never know what you'll find out. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Thank the Lord for the day. Thank Him for His word. Amen. Daring, close for us.
Dear Lord, thank you for that wonderful message, dear God. I was so excited to come to church today, Lord. Help us to think about these things, Lord, and help us to direct our anger, not at you, Lord, and to always remember your many blessings or benefits, as the Bible says. Lord, be with us tonight. Be with everyone who came tonight and everyone that's not here. Help us to come back this upcoming Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.